over. We got to quit looking at us and look at the cross. Amen. We got to quit looking at how shortcomings we are, and in my wife's case, how short we are. But we got to start looking at how big Jesus is. Hallelujah. How big he is. Hallelujah. He was a God that was without spot or blemish. Amen. And went to the cross. Did a legal work. None of us had the mind, even the greatest minds, could have never concocted such an awesome plan of victory for us. Amen. And he did it to the T. You guys, we got something to be excited about every time these doors open. Hallelujah. Yeah. I thank God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. If you've got your Bibles today, we're going to start. We got two places we're going. We're going to read together Genesis 1, verse 2. And we're going to pray and ask the Lord to help this preacher. Amen. And then we're going to camp out through the rest of the word and mark the fifth chapter.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Confirmation.
Hallelujah. You talk about confirmations, brother. From the moment, and I'm not just saying this, from the moment I walked in here today, I sensed the anointing of the Holy Spirit so strong. And as the musical service began to take place, my God. And I'm just so thankful that God still deals with my heart. Amen. He doesn't look at me about how short I fell or about how good I did in works. But he moves just because my belief is right, that I know he's the only one that can do anything. Y'all, that's awesome. That is awesome. And people go lay down on psychiatrist couches, pay hundreds of dollars an hour, and we get it free. Amen?
Amen.
And we get it free.
Amen.
I was a crackhead. Amen. I stole from myself. Amen?
Amen.
I ain't proud of it, but it's a testimony. Amen. Took from my mama. The only one who would visit me in the penitentiary. I love that woman. And she usually sits anywhere I'm preaching. She's in the front two, three rows saying amen to this day.
Amen.
But I'm here to tell you something. I'm glad that he deals with my heart today.
Amen.
Amen. And
amen.
Part of the problem with the church nowadays is we've done got so soft on sin. I ain't talking about acts of sin. And that's included. Don't get me wrong. Lying, cheating, stealing is wrong. Amen. There's the Ten Commandments for a reason. But we don't understand how to place the sin nature. Man's real problem. The problem ain't the white man. The problem's not the black man. The problem isn't the banks. The problem in part is the government. But let me tell you what the real problem is: sin. Hallelujah. The problem is sin, and America will never get it right until we fall on our knees. Amen. Until some more set free churches, till some more evangelists and some apostles stand out and say, America, repent. Hallelujah. That's what's going to fix it. But because even in our churches, we've gotten so soft, and we don't even know what the problem is. Brother, mommy didn't love you enough. So get in the mirror and tell yourself, I'm beautiful, I'm beautiful, I'm beautiful, I'm beautiful. Oh, they tell you that stuff. I've been through it. All these affirmations. And I'm for a positive confession. But there's a problem when a positive confession sounds just like some psychotic affirmations. Amen? And it's time for the church to admit that man is messed up. Amen. Man is a fallen creature. Hallelujah. The Bible says that all have sinned. It comes short of the glory of God. And in the original Greek, I'm not a Greek guy, but I'm told it means that we're continually falling. It's progressive. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're still falling, church.
Amen.
We're still falling.
Amen.
Man is messed up. Hallelujah. And that's why when we begin to thank God for how much he's done, we see in some churches, but not in Set Free, thank the Lord, but we see in some places we go, we can't even get excited about what he did.
Amen.
Now, excitement isn't your salvation, thank God, because sometimes if that was based on how excited I got, I'd go straight to hell probably every 3 days. But how many of you know if you can't get excited about this covenant, amen, if you can't get excited about what he did, how he washed you, how many of you know we're missing something, amen? We really don't understand the human dilemma. Man is a fallen creature. I don't know why I went there. Hallelujah. Genesis 1, we're going to read actually 1 and 2. In the beginning, God. Boy, that expels all that garbage they try to put me in schools, amen. Young people, don't fall for the okey-doke, amen. Don't believe it. They're trying to take God out and put nothing but evolution and apes in and wonder why they're acting like apes. My Bible says, in the beginning, God, hallelujah. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 3, and said, let there be light. And there was light. Stop right there. Father, we come to you by the authority in the name of Jesus.
Glory.
And Lord, I thank you for this message. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And Father, I ask you once again to do what you do with utterances of this truth, that you're going to go to the listener, for you've already prepared the hearts. Help me, Father, to say exactly what you once said. Father, that people can be set free, that people can get what they need from you. Help us all in here, Lord. And we go through this with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. I did some little bit of research on light. And it was interesting that light is the principal thing in comparing darkness to light. In other words, you don't rate light and how much darkness is there, but you rate darkness and how much light is there. Why? Because one little bit of light will light up this whole room to some degree. Amen? Darkness has to be ejected in the presence of light. Has to. But the Lord showed me some other things in looking up light. Light actually, there's a relationship that this earth has with light. One thing is called photosynthesis. In other words, everything that breathes and even plants would be totally done away with if there wasn't the presence of light. And the Lord told me something. That interdependence that this whole earth has on that sun is the same dependence we're supposed to have on the sun. Amen? Amen. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And let me tell you something. We're going to go on Mark, the 5th chapter. He expels darkness. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And actually, when you see Jesus in the scriptures, you can actually call it a type of the gospel. Every time you guys as Set Free Church hail the cross of Jesus Christ, you'll expel darkness. Amen. How many times have you sat here in these pews and maybe the first week you didn't quite get the effect that you needed, but you came back the next week, amen, and something started happening. You come back the third week, all of a sudden now you're thinking a little bit different. All of a sudden about 2 months later, you're like, man, I don't get angry like I used to. Hallelujah. I don't cuss like I used to. Amen. I don't drink like I was used to. Amen. In fact, he took it away. Hallelujah. Why? Because you sat under some light. Hallelujah. Why? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ came through the airwaves. Hallelujah. Affected your soul, and you had nothing to do with it. Let me tell you something. He's the light of the world. And that light is so, we're so dependent on light. If there was total darkness, everything would cease. And how many of you know, even though Jesus Christ went to be at the right hand of the Father, if there wasn't for the Holy Spirit he left on this earth, this world owes the church. And it's so, why do you think this world is under judgment? Jesus himself said, we're the salt of the earth, and if the salt have lost its savor, how will this world be salted? Amen? We got to put some salt on this world, church. And, you know, we need to put some salt in this area, in Columbus, Ohio, amen, in the streets, Upper Arlington. One thing I've always said about this gospel, yeah, I preach it in the prison and it works, amen. Yeah, I preach it in the hood and it works. But let me tell you, it also works in Upper Arlington, amen. There's also some drunks that can't get things to add up right that are businessmen, amen. And all of a sudden they start tipping that scotch, amen. But if they hear the sound, hallelujah, if some light cracks their ear gates, the same message that took this crackhead and set him free will take an Upper Arlington businessman and set him free.
Hallelujah.
God's no respecter of persons.
Amen.
seeker sensitive, amen, and try to cater something to fit you. Brother, there's nothing to fit you but to know that you're lost and dying, and only Jesus Christ is your answer. Hallelujah. So let's go to Mark, the 5th chapter. I love cross-preaching churches, especially now. This hour is late, church. I'm a manager at Verizon, and we had a morning meeting the other day, and people, we got a thing called Q, where people start to pile in, and they'll tell on you too, man. If they waited longer than 5 minutes, they'll tell corporate, and you start hearing things. So, you know, I already know we're about to get beat up, so I had to, like, address this. And the words that came to me was, look, team, got to be politically correct, team. You want to say, you idiot. But look here, team. When you start seeing people piling in, when you start seeing that queue get bigger and bigger, something on the inside ought to make you want to, your heart should start pumping a little faster. You can't be sitting there like, hey, how are you today? No, have a hi, how are you today? Okay, let's move. But you know, that same principle is with the church. When you start seeing the times and the signs of the times, when you start flipping on Christian television and you start seeing how off base everything has gotten, you know why I'm so dogmatic about the cross, and I say it, it's because I was that guy that could have been in the pew about to blow his brains out if I didn't get some help and love the Lord. I was that guy that if I didn't hear something, I might have gave the last bit of money I had thinking that this magic potion was going to fix something. Don't you get sick and tired of seeing our brothers and sisters out there falling for the okey-doke? Don't you get sick and something on the inside out and say, oh no, oh no, devil, we're putting a stop to this thing. Oh no, devil, you've deceived them one too many times, amen. I'm going to say something, amen. I'm going to put something in the atmosphere. I'm going to declare that this is wrong and Jesus Christ and Him crucified is right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Something on the inside ought to click in.
Amen.
And if it don't, it's easily fixed. We just repent. Hallelujah. Mark the 5th chapter, starting at verse 1. We're talking about Jesus Christ, the light of the world. It said, and they came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. Stop there. This is the story directly after the infamous story where Jesus Christ calmed the storm. Amen. And I find it very interesting that he calms nature. And now in this story of the demoniac, he's about to calm the spirit. Amen. He's about to not only take authority over the physical realm, but he's about to show you just who he is. And he's about to take authority over the spiritual realm.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And here's the other piece the Lord told me to bring out. The other side of the sea was the side that wasn't Semitic or Jewish. It was actually Gentiles. He said, well, what does that got to do with anything, Brother Mahar? I'll tell you why. This gospel was originally to the Jew first, amen? If you've ever felt outcast, like, well, I'm not good enough to get what they're getting. I'm just different. Maybe that's just for the pastor. That's just for the deacon. That's just for the eloquent guy. Let me tell you something. When Jesus went to the other side and set this man free, he's bringing it to whosoever. Hallelujah. And you might be listening to me by a CD. You might have clicked in on the internet and you're hearing me. You might be sitting in this audience. I'm here to tell you, if you are whosoever today, hallelujah, Jesus is coming to get you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it said in verse 2, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. The Lord told me something in that. Immediately there met him a man. Immediately. There's two postures we're going to look at. One posture is Jesus himself, who's God in the flesh. The other posture is the person struggling. Immediately there met him a man. Is your life immediately running into people that have issues?
Yeah.
Are you immediately getting the turmoil, the destitute? If not, wish we can get there, amen? But let me tell you the other side. If you are that one, that's still struggling with the inner turmoil and the inner cries, help me, Jesus. He ran to him immediately. Are you willing to drop everything you thought was right? Are you willing to not worry about mama's church and daddy's church, but go get some truth, amen? Are you willing to go immediately to the answer? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's keep going. Verse 3. Who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains. Verse 4. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces, neither could any man tame him. And I really wanted to hammer on this point. Fetters and chains. Fetters and chains are a type of man's best attempt to help you. And I often said, you know, my hat goes off to the Alcoholic Anonymous community. I tried it. My hat even goes off to the psychiatrist that's motives is really pure. They didn't just try to make, you know, $62 million a year, but really wants to help somebody. But I'm here to tell you it's a fetter and it's a chain. Hallelujah. It's a fetter and it's a chain. And you know what happens with fetters and chains? They make you a spectacle. You know why? Because he kept breaking them. I was that guy that loved the Lord. Oh, I had some deliverance for a couple weeks, but all of a sudden, boom, back down. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. You say, Lord, could you please take this from me?
Amen.
You go put a fetter. You go think, I'll go find me some meetings to set in on. Or I go, I'm walking through Walmart, and I see a book about the lion inside of you. And I'm like, that's my answer. How to be a good family man. Oh, them books look so good. 12 steps on helping yourself. I'm here to tell you it's a fetter and it's a chain. At best, you'll feel good about yourself, but at most, you're going to fail. Amen? It don't work. You say, why are you so hard on that? It can't work. God will not allow two things to set his men free. Amen? One thing, Jesus Christ, what he did on Calvary and faith in that alone. Hallelujah?
Amen.
Amen. Give God a hand. You should. Hallelujah. But we've got these fetters and chains. The fetters were the things that he had his wrists together with, the metal straps. And the chains actually bound him down. And you know what I see in that picture? I know when we was kids, we was ornery. We used to go knock on doors of witches and stuff and wait for them to come to the door, go take off, run, get in a car and jet on them. You know what I mean? I see this guy being tortured. I really do. I see this guy wanting deliverance so bad that he runs up to Jesus immediately. Somebody say, help me, Jesus. I see somebody wanting help, amen? But because he's been made a spectacle, somebody threw the fetters on him. It wasn't himself, amen? Somebody said, look, we can't fix you. The best we could do is make you fit in society, amen? Are you tired of being cast out? Are you tired of being brother can't get right? Amen? Are you tired of being sister gossip or whatever they call you? Amen? I'm here to tell you there's help. Hallelujah. The fetters and chains can come off. It ain't in the latest book. It ain't in the latest fad. It's in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It says in verse 5. Let's go back to 4. Besides that, he had often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And the Lord gave me an analogy for the tombs. You know what those tombs are? Those are religious tombs as well. Amen. Religion will put you in a tomb, will put you in a system, and say, just keep doing this, amen, and as yet there's no freedom. That's why the message of the cross is so powerful. Right now, the timing of how it's being emphasized, Sun Life Television, amen, church is starting to grow, amen, the clarity of the message is more clear than ever before. Why is all this such a timely effort? You know why? Because people are in tombs, and people are sick and tired. They gave one too many offerings, church. I'm hoping I'm giving somebody excited and hope about this gospel that you're carrying, amen. They're sitting in tombs, amen. laying in tombs and they're tired. And they've tried this, they tried that, they tried the Jabez prayer, and they still think the same way.
Amen.
And lo and behold, somebody from this church yells across the ear, "Hey, it's not in that. It's back to the basics." Hallelujah. It's at the cross. Hallelujah. And something jumps on the inside. Remember back how you were when you first heard this word? Oh, I know. I was like, that's got to be right. Oh, my heart just somersaults. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 6. But when he saw Jesus, whoo. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him.
Hallelujah.
When he saw Jesus, church, we can't give him the best look of a church. That's not going to fix it. When he saw Jesus, church, it wasn't when he seen the 12-course orchestra. When he seen Jesus, hallelujah, it wasn't when he seen the most beautiful-looking minister. When he seen Jesus, hallelujah, something about the gospel, something about Jesus being painted clear makes people run, hallelujah. And he worshipped him. Now, I've checked into that worship. I know, brothers, I differ with Brother Swaggart on this one, but give me a moment. There's lots of people that say that worship was actually false. Because in the very next breath, the brother starts to hear a demon talking. And that's cool. Because in the end, even if you preach it that way, it still points back to Jesus being over all of it. Amen. We can shout and have the victory. But I believe the Lord gave me something a little clearer on this one. When he worshipped him, I believe that was his heart crying out. You want to know why? Well, we're stuck and in sin. Amen?
Amen.
God always gives you enough. Hear me. Somebody needs to hear this. God always gives you enough freedom to make a quality choice for the cross. Always. I don't care. And here's another thing that I need to point out. A lot of times we read this passage, we say, that ain't for me, because I'm not demon-possessed. Let me tell you something. This also is a message to the oppressed. How many of you know oppression can be worse than possession in your mind at times? How many of you have ever been oppressed? Hallelujah. Oppression can make fear seem so real. One time it gripped our household before we knew the cross. Fear got in our home. We love the Lord. Youth pastors, and we love God. But fear got in so strong that we had to call up a goon squad to think we was casting out a demon. A Christian can't be possessed, first of all. First of all, you may be got some stinking thinking. You may be listening to me. You are not demon possessed. Give God a hand on that. If Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life and you put your faith in the cross, he can oppress you, but he can't possess you. But how many of you know the bondage that's in possession can be just as great as the bondage that's in oppression? Church, hallelujah. In fact, my mind goes to a passage in Romans, the 7th chapter. Oh, wretched man that I am, it says, the good that I would, I don't understand why I'm doing it. And that which I don't want to do, I don't understand why I'm doing it. Who can set me free from this bondage? That sounds like a man that's oppressed. Paul loved the Lord. Paul had already got filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues, but yet he said, who can set me free? Why am I doing this still? How many of you know this scripture isn't just for those who are possessed? You can be loving the Lord and be oppressed today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Let's go back.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Verse 7. And he cried with a voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee of God that you torment me not. I think Matthew's version says, before the time. Torment me not before the time. I want to share something about that. I'm glad to hear those words, I adjure thee. You know what that tells us? This is a legal work, church. If you don't understand that your salvation is legal, maybe that's because I've been in court so many times. Amen? But let me tell you something. I understand something. I get blessed on this one. Because with that word adjure has the word jury in it. Amen? Same root word. And he's saying, I call you to the courts of heaven, Jesus. You can't do this until the right time. Hallelujah. How many of you know there's a time Jesus came the first time in a manger? How many know the next time he's coming on a white horse? Amen. He ain't playing with none of them. And he's called judgment. Amen. And Satan, seeing the power of Jesus Christ, says, whoa, this is too soon for this. I legally call you. You can't do it. How many know God works in a legal way? Amen. God works in a legal way. And that's a blessing to us. You know why? It means we can hold him to his word. We can hold him to this church. God is a legal. Even the devil tried to hold him to his word. But the devil got outsmarted. Because they didn't know Jesus was legal on this earth. He came through a womb. Hallelujah. He came through a womb. Hallelujah. But he says, you can't do this. In verse 8, for he said unto him, come out, that man, you unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. The Lord gave me something to tell you, people that are oppressed. And even if you're listening, and you may be possessed today, I'm here to tell you something, church. Those of us that are not possessed, that find ourselves saying, the good I would, I don't understand why I do it. And that which I don't want to do, I don't know why I still am doing it. What's going on, Lord? When Jesus spoke to that demon, he identified what kind it was. And he cast out probably 2,000, legion means 6,000 people in the Roman army. 2,000 pigs got suicided because of it. So we know it's at least 2,000. But here's the thing. When we go to nail things to the cross, church, are we nailing the right thing? Here's what I'm saying. You may say, Lord, I'm tired of this lust. But how many of you know maybe he wants you to nail loneliness to the cross? The lust comes with it. Amen? Sometimes we're like, Lord, the poverty. Lord, I'm tired of poverty. And when, Lord, I put poverty on the cross. How many of you know he might be trying to get out lasciviousness, trying to live above your means, amen? Yeah. How many know we may be trying to nail anger to the cross, but how many of you know it really could be unforgiveness? Maybe you need to forgive, and everything else comes with it. Do you hear me, church? Yeah. If Jesus walked in wisdom, hallelujah, and he said, who are you, legions? And with one command, everything set free, amen? That's power. Oh, that's power. I had a goon squad trying to cast demons out of Christians. They wanted to set up around me for 6-7 hours. Wow. Thank God for the cross. Hallelujah. Thank God for the cross. But he said in verse 9, and he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, said, for we are legions, for we are many. Verse 10, and he besought him much that he would not send him away into the country. Now, there was near them, unto them, to the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. Keep going. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. You know, I find it very interesting that animals would rather be dead than set up under the bondage and oppression and possession of a demon spirit. But we as church folks sometimes play with that thing. That devil said, the swine said, just get me up out of here. I can't deal with it. And how many of us really sit there and play with that stuff? Amen. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went down. Let's go to verse 14. And they who fed the swine told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came unto Jesus and see him who was possessed with the devil and had a legion sitting clothed and in his right mind, and they were all afraid. Let's stop right there, y'all. That's the last verse. They came back and seen him in his right mind. How many testimonies do we have out there where you didn't? I heard a sister who was singing today said, my mind used to be messed up. Now I'm in my right mind. Amen. My mind was all jacked up, church. Oh, it was. But Jesus freed me. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, you're a testimony waiting to happen. First of all, we already are all testimonies for what he's already done. But that other thing, Paul called it the sin that does so easily beset you. This is a process called sanctification. It ain't a one dab a do you gospel.
Amen.
You know, we went to the cross one time. Thank the Lord. You know what? We live at the cross. So say, what are you saying today? Brothers and sisters, I just beseech you and I beckon you that thing, that one other thing, and you know, once he sets you free from it, he's going to show you another one. It don't stop. It don't stop till we get to glory. But you know what? There's 2, 3, 4 other people that know about that thing too. And it's a testimony when they see. I'll give you a story.
Hallelujah.
I had just preached a revival. In fact, it was up to a brother Tex, Pastor. It was like 3 years ago. And some people said some things about my wife back here in town. And usually, I know I'm saved, sanctified, but usually I usually at least have a few words with somebody, especially when you cross my family. I'm just that way. And I got a phone call from some friends, and they just weren't in the spirit at all. I was coming back, faith, great time in the Lord. And they was like, oh, Brother Mahari, I hate to tell you this. Now, we singing in the car, got our hands raised, just thanking God. And they hit me like, boom. They said this, and it was some treacherous, just awful stuff. And they're like, I know you about to go off, man. I didn't want to tell you. And you know what? I told them with such peace, it's all right. I said, you know what? We got work to do for the Lord. That's like walking and you see dog manure. You just got to step aside. Amen. Amen. And my brother said, Mahari, you've changed. Because there was a time you would have been at his front door. And I was like, and you know what? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I've changed. Hallelujah. He took me some farther. Amen. He said, well, what are you working on now, Brother Mahari? That's none of your business. Amen. He's working out some more. Hallelujah. And I'm here to tell you, whatever it is, there's help at the cross. And there's so much stuff from grocery store checkout lines, flipping channels on TV, visiting a friend's church. Sometimes, who knows, we as pastors and people that elders, sometimes we think somebody's coming with the truth and they slide stuff into you. You don't really know. That's why we got to be ready. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, it's one fight. It's the fight of faith. It ain't about the spiritual echelons of the demon over this region, the demon over 3 streets this way. Junk. Let me tell you what it's about. The fight of your faith. Amen. If he could deviate you from the cross, but a little bit, if I could just trust a little bit in this system. It's the cross, but it's still this. Oh, it's the cross, but it's still, you know, a little bit of psychology ain't bad. Let me tell you, psychology is foul. You say, well, Christian psychology. Let me tell you something. Psychology and Christian psychology are diametrically opposed to one another. In other words, an oxymoron to say Christian psychology. That's like saying you're a Christian Buddhist. Amen? Psychology has at its foundation Karl Marx, Lord help me, Sigmund Freud, Maslow, Rogers, all these cats. These cats were atheists. Amen? These cats tried to define man's existence outside of the existence of God.
Amen.
People always want to know, why am I the way I am? Why is this happening? In church, the gospel gives you a great answer, the truth. Psychology holds up a false answer. Mommy didn't love you enough. You don't think high enough of yourself. How many know the Bible says that man thinks too high of himself? Amen?
Amen.
We don't have an inferiority complex. We got a superiority complex.
Amen.
But this stuff, amen, give God a hand.
Amen.
But this stuff is designed to get your faith. And it's the sneak attack. A good con man is going to con you slowly but surely. They say if you put a frog in hot water, he'll jump right out. But if you put a frog in cold water and slowly turn it up, he boils with it. And this culture, in the church culture to this day, has been boiling. Amen?
Amen.
But I'm here to tell you something. Set Free Church, amen, is a light, is a beacon in the midst of this jump. Everybody bow your head. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you by the authority in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the time these people spent, Lord. I thank you for the help of the Holy Ghost. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that your word comes to fix, not to beat. Hallelujah. I thank you that your word comes to shine a light, that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and if he just crosses your path and you run to him through the gospel that's being preached, you can be set free. And if there's anybody under the sound of my voice, I'm not here to single you out or bring you down in front of everybody, but if something was said and you feel like, you know what, that's me, I just want you to raise your hand. You're raising it to God. Amen. I see the hands. You're raising to God. Hallelujah. I see the hands. Now I've got another prayer. Now let those hands down. If you're under the sound of my voice and you desire to be rededicated or give your life to the Lord for the first time, that's another category. I want you to raise your hand. Hallelujah. Amen. I see the hands. Hallelujah. Here's what we're going to do. Everybody either stand or even sit where you're at. It doesn't matter. We're going to say a prayer corporately. This first prayer is for the ones that raised their hand that want to rededicate their life and or get saved. Amen. For the first time. Say this after me, church. Say, Father, I come to you by the authority in the name of Jesus. And I hear your word loud and clear. Extra loud. And I know that I don't have a solution other than Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary. Forgive me for placing my faith and my confidence in other systems that simply don't work. I now place my faith exclusively in you, Jesus. And I accept the working of Calvary. Holy Spirit, I'm open. Move in Jesus' name. Now, Father, right now, I thank you for those hands that was raised. I thank you for the humility to even say, Lord, fix me again. Jesus has never turned away anyone that's come to him. Even the demoniac, and there's no demoniacs in here, that when he ran to Jesus, he immediately responded, amen. And I'm here to tell you, your help lies in the Lord, and he's fixed you. Hallelujah. Just walk with him and learn. Hallelujah. Now we're going to pray again for the rest of the church. Those that feel that there may be an area, like Paul said, the sin that does so easily beset us. Amen. We're going to pray and put that thing on the cross. Hallelujah. Father, say this after. Say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I ask you to shine a light. Exactly what I need to nail to the cross, whether it be anger, whether it be lust, whether it be finances, whether it be slothfulness. Help me, Jesus. Show me. I want one word to fix the problem. With your light shine, I can fix it immediately. Show me. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, right now I pray for these people in here, Lord. I thank you that you're taking them on a journey of sanctification, Lord, that'll show them exactly what it is that's holding the thing that they want gone so bad. Father, right now I loose the word, and Father, I loose the confirming the word with signs that follow. Father, I trust you, and I thank you for this time in the Spirit with you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Give God